Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
A Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
David, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good, my friend. How about you?
Everything's good. Barb and I are a little closer to Charlotte than we normally are. We're up in Greenville for a family wedding. So nice. We're coming to you from, I can't even remember the name of the hotel, but a nice hotel in Greenville, downtown Greenville. Downtown Greenville has changed since 1984, just for the record. Wow, it's really cool. Have you been here
in a while? I have not been there. I hear a lot of good things about it.
Yeah, they've done a really nice job. It's very nice. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about home improvement. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a shout. We will talk home improvement. We have, David, this week will be one of those weeks we put in the category of dog's breakfast. Like what we've got to talk about, all kinds of different stuff. We do have some items that we talked about last week, or we said we would. We promised to talk a little bit about home safety this week, and so we'll get into that. It is the daylight savings time goes away tonight at 2 a.m., I guess, or somewhere around there. Some will wait till 2 o'clock, stay up and change their clocks. And the rest of the world will not, but when we wake up in the morning, we will have an extra hour of sleep. Or I hope we'll have had an extra hour of sleep. So that means a number of things for us. And we'll talk about that a little bit because one of the safety tips or one of the safety categories or topics that we'll have this week is just the different kinds of alarms that you want to have in your home. It's time to change the batteries in our smoke alarms, right? So we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But David, I thought we would go, I've tried to organize, thoughts inside the house, safety. There's a lot about, child safety and poisons and stuff like that. And I don't want to get all into that. This is like the home improvement show. So we'll try to keep it, relevant to that, but there's some good things, just some basic safety tips that are safe things to do that in a certain way have nothing to do with home improvement, but we'll share them anyway. And I'd like, David, you have a lot of good stuff when we talk about this, just ladder safety. We won't talk about scaffolds and harnesses and things like that. Most of us are not doing that kind of work. But also want to talk about auxiliary heaters, both like top sellers or favorites, if you will, and also just a tiny bit on safety. I think we touched on it last week, so we probably won't spend tons and tons of time there. And then we've got our product of the week, our Home Depot product of the week. It's a great one this week, I think, given the season, and some pretty cool features and benefits, if you will. And then, David, I have a stack, literally. Can you hear that? It's a stack of tips of the week that I've been saying every week. Okay, we'll go through some tips of the week. We'll go through some tips of the week, and we have it. Done a single one. So, well, maybe a couple weeks ago we did one. I can't remember. But I thought we'd go through all that. And then I don't know what the email world looks like. Have you seen?
Yeah, I've got a handful of emails. It was slow there for a while, but it's picked up and have some questions. I haven't been able to answer all of them yet, but I'll get to them this week. And we can answer some of them on air.
That would be cool. Is there rhyme or reason to it? Are you seeing trending or is it just kind of
random, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And still, lots of folks asking who to call. you know, for certain things. So, but we can kind of talk about the subject of what they're looking for, and then it's tough. It's tough out there. People are struggling to find people to do work.
Yeah, I was listening to the news there for a minute, and it does sort of make you scratch your head, because, you know, we hear all the things in supply chain, and that's not this fuel shortage thing now, but just the challenges of getting things, and always there's an element of just people, getting people to do work, you know, to find people for jobs. And then I just heard that, like, while unemployment is, you know, ticked up again, were you listening to the news? There's how many million vacant positions are out there? I'm like, I'm not sure what's up with that.
I think it's a lot of people are doing internet things, and they're not taking traditional jobs.
Well,
I don't know what else it could be.
Uber, maybe.
Yeah, well, you have Uber, Lyft, but all the TikTok channels. I have an electrician friend that told me that he gets paid, people pay him to watch him play games. I said, what?
You're kidding me.
No. I said, do they play a lot? No, they just watch.
All right, we just can't go there. All right.
I just wanted to see if I could bait you up.
You know, I'm not going. I'm not taking the bait. But I'm going to talk to you off the air. All right. Look, we have lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're going to work during the next break on a TikTok solution so you all can watch us talk, because there's nothing more riveting than us just talking. Actually, you're probably better off not seeing us. But anyway, we're going to take our break, folks. We would love if you would give us a call, 704-570-1110. Or as David said, askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button. Or just go straight to questions@askjohnanddave.com. You do have to spell out the and. And we can tackle your questions that way. So grab a cup of coffee, grab your questions, and we will be back right after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Our lines are open. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. David, I think just for grins, before we take a headlong dive into any of the topics we said, since I talked about or I spoke of tips of the week that we never share, how about we just share one right now?
Okay.
I'm looking at one. This is from February of 2007, and it comes, keep the color constant. If you have to use more than one box of colored grout, so this is for tiling. We talked about just changing grout colors as a way to kind of spruce up a room without doing major work or major expenses, right? And it talks about dry mix grout. If you have to use more than one box, mix the dry contents of the box together in a larger box before adding water. It will result in an even mix of pigment through the grout, providing an even colored end result. Same as boxing paint, right? If you've got more than 1 5-gallon or 1 gallon a bucket of paint to use for a room, box it. You mix it in a large gallon, all the buckets in a large gallon, and paint from there, large gallon, large bucket, and paint from there so that if there's any slight variance in color, you deal with that. The tinting stuff right now, though, the tinting technology is so good that's less and less of a problem. Here, whatever this is, 14 years later. So, but that's it. That's one of our tips of the week. Boxing the paint or boxing the grout. Mix it all and then use it. And it'll be the end result will be much better. Do you do that, David? You use the pre-mixed stuff, don't you? Grout?
No, it's usually it's the guys that are doing it boxed or bagged. But the bags are a little bit bigger. So yeah, they're in good shape. But I have seen them grab the bag and take it from end to end before they use it and mix it up inside the bag before they ever dump it. So yeah. Makes sense.
All right, so we're going to keep that one. We're saying we don't have to rethink our strategy on that one. All right, can deal. All right, so let's talk alarms. I guess a safety feature. Don't have. What am I trying to say? Alarms that have sharp corners on them, like wake up alarms, as you slam it to go to snooze again. Have a padded snooze button. The standard alarms, we talked a couple weeks ago about smoke alarms and carbon monoxide alarms, and so I don't think we should spend a ton of time on that. We talked, there's a couple different types, you know, photoelectric or ionization, and then there's a combination one. Always, eventually technology decides, hey, yeah, this is good for this and that's good for that. So if you're going to buy one that is a combination, photoelectric and ionization, so that you can get either flash fires, alarms, or smoldering fire alarms and be safe. And of course, CO2 or CO, we spoke about too. That's hard to say. But let's go beyond there. Security alarms. Having a security alarm. There was a point in time, I think, where people, that was kind of, well, that's a lot to pay for, not going to do it. With all of the different Wi-Fi connections and do-it-yourself solutions, monitoring options, it pretty much is a non-event financially and technologically to have a decent alarm system in your house. And so I think that's for one sure. That we would say, hey, if you're not there, do it, right? And as I was reading through different tips on that, one of them is, hey, set the alarm when you go to bed at night, right? So most alarms have a perimeter solution, right? So motion sensors and things like that aren't triggered by people walking around the house, but the perimeter is still protected should somebody break glass or force entry through a door. If you have adolescent children who are driving, this also is a good tip. Set the perimeter, and you'll know when they come home. That's just a freebie.
Right?
Ask me how I know that. Then let me see. Oh, here's one that I, out of the blue, that you don't have to wire. There is some investment of time, though. A really great security solution, good neighbors watching out for each other, right?
Right.
If you're away. And then for folks with pools, a pool chime or some kind of alarm that when the door that gives access to the pool area opens, especially if you have young children, an alarm sounds so you know that door has been opened. And
Some places I think that's part of the code.
I was going to say, I think it's code. In fact, I want to say even in Atlanta, that may be the case. Although with the kids out of the house now, except when the grandkids are there, I don't have that chime feature turned on. Let's see. That's it on the alarm thing. What did I miss? We're talking about something. Yeah, no, I think that's it.
I think that's it. I mean, some people have driveway alarms, so if someone pulls up, it'll if your Wi-Fi will reach, it'll work off of your Wi-Fi and alert you. But a lot of that stuff is wireless, so you got to stay. You got to make sure you take care of the batteries. And of course, if you're on a service with any of that stuff, you want to check the batteries before you call them for service, so you can save the service charge, right?
Yeah,
makes you feel bad when they come out and just with a handful of batteries.
And they really do. Although I had one. Our system has a master battery in the brain center. Mm-hmm. So it's I don't know how old it is. Oh, I guess older, but that had to be replaced. I got a battery signal. I went through and changed all the batteries on the wireless ones, and it still gave me a battery signal. I didn't even think. And then I'm like, wait a minute. There's a big battery in the box. And that's what it was giving me the warning.
That's your backup.
So, yeah. The battery backup for when you lose power. So those are our alarm or our alarm conversations or our alarm things from a safety perspective. Then there's a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I guess shame on me. I was kind of lazy as I put this together because I didn't make an outline of all the different things. It would not be a bad idea. I mean, when as you're goofing off on the internet or just kind of cruising around, go check out some safety things. There's a lot of good articles and a lot of good lists of just things to check for your home. And so I pulled a few things out that I thought were worthwhile. One of them, just out from an outside perspective, that I didn't think about until I read this, was make sure that your house numbers, like your address, is very visible outside the house, for emergency fire and police, so it's easy to identify. I guess with GPS now, well, I don't know. I've Ubered from the house or Ubered to the house from different things, and you can tell as I get close to the house, the driver's confused about which side of the road it is or which address it is, just because we have larger lots, I guess maybe. I don't know, because it says you are here when you're at my neighbor's driveway. So I don't know, maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't, but have the address out there. Do your kids know how to dial 911 and give basic information? Can they give your address and can they tell, some basic thing for fire or emergency folks, should something happen? That's one I didn't think about either. It's like, do they know how to do that? Then I don't know. It'd be morbid for me to say, I chuckle at this, but I've seen so many different accidents that no one gets hurt. But one of the tips was to put the sun catchers or the little like hanging stained glass birds or flowers or whatever on your patio doors so that people don't try to walk through them.
Yes.
That would be true in our house because Barbara does keep like glasses, like the glass really clean. And so I guess you would, but I thought that was kind of a good tip. And the screens. I was walking with one of our home investor customers this week down in Savannah, and I was like, "Hey, this patio door is missing a screen." He goes, "Yeah, we take them all off because everybody walks through them." And I'm like, "Oh, well, how do you keep the door open and the bugs out?" He's like, "Well, you don't. This is not for ventilation."
Those are prime candidates for those retractable screens.
That's Ryan, Susanna, and Ryan installed one of those, and man, it is slick as can be. This
Yeah,
and
they're
it's
nice.
like slowly retracts, and I mean, I thought maybe that could be a little bit cheesy, but it was actually pretty good. All right, look, I think we're going to be up against a break here, get ready, give us a call. We're at 704. 570-1110, 704-570-1110. Talking home safety. We're kind of rattling down a few things. More to go. We'll talk about some more outside, and we'll talk about what's important to you if you call us, 704-570-1110. And we'll do some emails from askjohnanddave.com, and somebody clicked on the question button and sent us a note that way. So grab your cup of coffee, grab your honey-do list, and we'll talk when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dolville.
David, we have Brian. Before we do our Home Depot product of the week, let's take Brian. He's been waiting for a while during the break here. Brian, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How can we help you this morning?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I enjoy your show. I had a question this morning about brick veneer on a two-story colonial house.
Okay.
Okay.
I've lived in this house for
What?
about 20 years. About 15 years ago, I noticed some cracks in the veneer. I used some caulk product. I don't remember what it was to fill in those cracks, and it appears to have worked. I don't notice that though I've had any problems. Fast forward to today, I see some new cracks in a different area of the house. I started to do the same type of repair. I was going to use a Sika caulk product. But then I just happened to think I've heard a number of shows, excuse me, companies advertise about doing foundation repairs. So now I'm starting to wonder, am I doing the right thing or is there something else I should be doing besides just putting the caulk in those cracks?
I think, David, you should weigh in on this. I think Brian, as a general rule, you're okay, especially because you're asking the questions. Usually, the telltale sign is cracks where the brick is broken, or cracks that are where the kind of stair steps that don't grow larger over a period of time are probably okay, just settling. We had a really wet spring and then a really dry fall, and that can have an effect on the it does have an effect on the soil and therefore your foundation. But David, what Brian is doing and Brian is speaking about doesn't sound like we might talk about another product as a hint, because I think you have a great idea on how to cover up those cracks. But are there just the broken brick is the one you really want to be worried about, is that right?
Yeah, when it starts breaking bricks, so if it's cracks in the mortar only, then that's one thing, and so it's a weak point in the system. And as John says, as the soil moves with the change of from wet to dry or dry to wet, can have havoc on that. But are you seeing bricks broken as well, Brian? Are the as the cracks come down?
On this particular crack, I do believe I have a couple brick that are cracked on that line.
Okay. Yeah, so that's probably when you want to get someone out. It's not a bad idea to have them come out and do an inspection anyway. I think most of these companies do it for they'll do a free inspection.
Okay.
We like Dry Pro because it's just been our experience, and the feedback that we've gotten is if they don't find anything wrong, they're not going to make something up. So
Right.
you could kind of rest easy. And I don't know that there's I don't we don't know of anyone else out there that does that, but we know for sure that if they don't find anything, that is what it is.
Yeah, we had
Okay.
Brian, we had Mark Steiner from Dry Pro on the show just about a month ago, not a little less than a month ago. And that was we spoke precisely of the scenario that you've got, right? Where there's a broken brick, then get someone out to take a peek at it. And I think my comment was, because Mark and all those guys are good, they're confident, but they tend to be they're not going to brag. But David and I have gotten lots and lots of very positive feedback about them coming out and either doing an excellent job or saying, "Hey, the problem you've got is not a problem. There, don't spend any money on it, right?" And so I think
Okay.
with the scenario you've got, it's probably good to get them. I was looking to see if I wrote their number down. I have it in a file, but it's like
I
on the
have
floor
it.
next to me. I won't think. Oh, you got it, Mark? David.
Oh, I got it. It's 8-866-4 Dry Pro.
There you go.
Or
Okay, terrific.
4drypro.com. The number four.
Thank you. I
You're
really
welcome.
appreciate that.
All right, man. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Have a good
Brian.
day.
All right, let's do our Home Depot product of the week. This is a good one. It's fun. It's time of year that's great to get outside and have a little fire. And there's just like everything else, there's really cool technology, even for a fire pit. So we're going to talk about the Tiki Metal Fire Pit. Why is it cool? Well, a couple things. Number one, it's fundamentally smokeless. If you take a look at design, check it out online. The way it draws air, it burns the wood more efficiently, and there's less smoke. It comes with a wood pack, so you can burn almost like pellets in it, or you can put conventional logs in it. Got a super simple ash pan to clean the ashes out when the fire is done, and you can get it without if for roughly the price of a gallon of gas, $395. So it's not going to break the bank, and it looks good. So check it out, the Tiki Metal Fire Pit. It's the Home Depot product of the week for this week. Get out, have an adult beverage with your loved ones, and enjoy the awesome fall. Boom. All right. Let's see, where are we? Where are we? Oh, okay. Barb was listening, and she said, "Hey, John, don't forget to tell people all the camera technology now."
Right.
And I thought, well, we were talking, David, you talked about people on TikTok and stuff, and you can get paid to watch people play games. I don't know, put one of those cameras And then maybe while you're out cutting the grass or blowing the leaves, maybe people will pay to watch you working outside the house. What do you think?
They say they pay, people will pay to watch or see just about anything you can imagine. So,
All right.
and I think it's really the advertisers is how they make their money. So the more people you
Yeah, they
have.
just want people to do that exactly. So,
Right.
well, what about let's talk seriously about the camera concept though. There are a lot of very cool things like the Ring doorbells and the Simply Safe systems, and I'm just saying brand names that I don't mean to endorse or promote one versus the other. The bottom line, there is very good technology. I know even monitoring your kids during a nap or sleep time or whatever. We used one when my mom was out, needed help in the house and stuff like that. We had a camera and you could check on things and make sure everything was okay. So I thought that was a really good idea. So lots of good security stuff, and you can tell kind of what's going on, who's ringing your doorbell, and so on. So points for that. Back inside the house for a minute on safety, a couple things real quick. I one of the things that I'm really bad at is like I will leave my curling iron plugged in when I'm done doing my hair, and that's not a safe thing to do if you have children in the house. David, do you unplug your curling iron?
Yeah,
Well, I don't.
it's really more of a branding iron at this point.
Hey, look, it's David. But seriously, there's things in the house. Medicines, where are medicines kept? Everybody remembers not to leave chemicals and stuff under the sink and the childproof cabinets and stuff like that. But when where there's medicines involved, where are they stored? Or are they easy access? When grandparents come or visitors come, where is their medicine and so on? So just simple things like that. We talked about, oh, here's another one. Now they've changed the product on this. This was actually pretty cool. I really like them, but the blinds, like window blinds, the cord was a
Cordless,
huge issue, but they've
right?
gone to cordless now,
Yeah.
and they are slick. But if you don't, if you haven't made the conversion, then please be careful. You want to make sure
Right.
that those get tied up
Hey,
out of reach of the kids.
speaking of cordless, we probably better take a break.
Oh, have we gone past our break? Oh my gosh, here we have. All right, folks, we're gonna take a break. 704-570-1110. We'll return after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dolville.
We've got lines open. We're 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're talking safety, but if you've got questions, as Brian did, just about home stuff, home improvement stuff, you should give us a call. We'll talk about anything that makes sense from a home improvement perspective. Want to make sure we're talking about the things that y'all want us to talk about. David, before we go, I'd like you to, I know you've always had some really good guidance on ladder safety, specifically about some things that probably make sense by way of attachments that folks will typically not think about just because it's not what they do every day. But before we go to ladder safety, let's take a second and we'll do another tip of the week. And this one says, this week's tip comes from our Don't Be Shocked by Shorts file. Sounds like we're at the beach, maybe. I don't know. It's not uncommon when doing remodeling or when changing out a switch for one to encounter wires in an electrical box that are too short to work with. Instead of running the risk of loose or improper connections, take advantage of easy to install push-in wire connectors. These devices work on the same principle as the push-in connections on the back of switches and duplex receptacles. You can get them in varieties that will accommodate multiple wires if needed. Using them is simple. Cut a new piece of wire, 5 or 6 inches long. That could vary, I guess. Add it to the short wire by inserting the short wire into a push-in wire connector and then inserting the new, longer wire into the extension into the other opening in the push-in connector. Now you have wires long enough to make the proper connection on your device. Not bad.
No, they're
That's
still
still right.
they those are they're nice. They work
When
well.
Chris, yeah. Well, I did that. I helped Chris at that house in Hampstead, and man, they were stingy with the wires. So when I replaced the all the devices, right, with something current. I used a lot of push-in connectors because, man, it was like trying to get your fingers in there and make connections was tough. All right, 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is our number. Give us a call. David, will you take a minute and just kind of talk about ladder safety and some ideas there?
Sure, please. Sure. I think my big thing is for years I didn't use one, but a ladder stabilizer, I think, is the first thing. And it essentially just takes your ladder from being 18 inches wide to 4 feet. Yeah. It just attaches to the top. They have ones that have clamps that you clamp them on, or they have units that's for a quick, or they have them for kind of a quick disconnect. Both either is fine. I think if you're using it regularly, I think maybe the one that clamps on is probably better. I've got both. It takes a little bit longer to take it on and off, but it allows you to span a single window, which is nice. I've been in situations, John, where I've had to be right on top of a double or a triple window. And what I've done is taken a 2x6 and laid it across the bracket and then clamped it on there. And then that allows
and then
you to
let the 2x6 span the window so you're not leaning
against. Yes, and you're leaning against the window. But normally for just a single window, this spreader or ladder stabilizer puts the pressure on the left and the right of the window, and you can work on the window. So it's good for the roof too. If you're cleaning gutters, you actually extend the ladder up over the roof, over the gutters, and you let that bracket, that stabilizer, hang on the roof itself, and it gets you up a little bit higher, and it just stabilizes the ladder, and you just feel more comfortable. I certainly do. I'm trying to get rid of my tall ladders, John, but I still have a 28 foot. I'm working down to a 20 foot, and that's going to be it. I think the other thing is the ladder jacks or the ladder. The devices you can add to the bottom of the ladder for uneven terrain are pretty nice. So you can buy different types. But if you have a hilly yard, you know, it's fine if you're with the hill. But if you're going down the hill, right, like on the side of a house,
left to right,
left
to right, yeah.
Used to be you'd stack up whatever you could find and put underneath the leg. That's not very, very smart. And of course, in a pinch, again, you could use a couple of clamps and a 2x4. You would clamp it to the side of the ladder, but it's not the safest way. So I think those products that you add to the ladder that allow you to raise the ladder on one side or the other, depending on which side the hill you're climbing, it keeps the ladder from tipping. That and that stabilizer, really, they make you feel like a pro up there for sure.
Cause it's no, I don't know. I'm a chicken in my old age. I used to be the guy that would just, you know, run up the 40 foot ladder and change out the light fixtures, leaning on just a purlin on the roof and all on the roof inside, right, in a pole barn, those old pole barns, mm-hmm, that we worked in. Not anymore, man. Like, I don't even like, yeah, I don't know. So,
well, I think I think it's the wisdom that you get.
maybe I think I'm just
along with age.
I don't trust my balance anymore. I have no idea where I am.
Yeah,
in space.
Well,
and
there's balance and even the strength sometimes it takes to set a really tall ladder up. Sometimes it's a two-person job. Used to be I could have a ladder extended out, you know, 30 feet and grab it from the reach up as far as I could and as low as I could, and I could move the ladder around with no problem. I still can a short, you know, a smaller ladder, but not a big ladder. So, you know, even that is becomes challenging. So this is like I tell folks, it's a young man's game. So if you're comfortable, you know, go for it. But if you're not, get somebody else to climb on it. It's probably the best safety tip.
No, it's a good one. And I think I'm trying to remember, usually I'm fairly good with products. my initial sense is, if you've got like a Werner ladder, you should use Werner accessories. If you've got a Louisville ladder, you should use Louisville accessories. there's some fundamental designs that you have to have just to make the ladder function at the weight ranges at which it functions. But I can't remember whether, I guess there are universal solutions on that that just adjust.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. I just couldn't remember. But
I think, I think some of the stabilizers, you just need to make sure, you know, if you're looking at ladders, look for the D rungs because they're flat on top. In other words, if you look at it from the side, it looks like a D laying on its side. And they're safer. It's a little more ergonomic. And of course, the more expensive the ladder is, usually the taller it is. But also if it's a more expensive for the same size ladder, you know, you're looking at weight. You're also looking at probably range, wider, a little thicker rungs, and the material's a little heavier. So, you know, it's not just you that if you're carrying something up the ladder, you have to add that weight in there as well. So, you know, if you're going to buy a ladder, really don't skimp.
All right, let's take a break. Folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Going to sneak away, and we'll be back after these important messages.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back, everybody. This is hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we are ready for some calls. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Remind everybody that it's daylight savings time, or daylight saving time weekend. I was listening to the news earlier, and I guess I've been saying it wrong for a long time. Daylight saving time. And turn your clocks back an hour, an extra hour of sleep, and that'll be great. 704-570-1110. We've talked about safety in the house, safety outside. I think the only thing David, I think it's important. Actually, I totally missed this on the house we flipped. And I had to fix it. I mean, it got done, but bookshelves secured when you get like ready to assemble bookshelves, or you put bookshelves in at a certain height. They have devices that allow you to fasten them to the walls so they don't get tipped over should a kid, one of your children, you know, try to climb on it or pull on it. And your stove has a clamp that fastens to the wall, and then one of the legs slides underneath it so that the leaning on the oven door or leaning on the stove doesn't allow the stove to tip over. Put the clamp in and stuck it back there, and I will go back and do that. And then we never did. And the inspector was like, "Hey, you got to put this on." I'm like, "Oh, you got to screw that to the wall, really?" So, I think we've covered off on all of the safety conversations that we wanted to have inside and outside the house. David, do you have any emails pulled up? Or
yeah, let's do this one. Tim had written in, and he lives he's in Charlotte, and we appreciate that when folks include that in there. And sometimes I have to write back and ask for a phone number because I need more information. So if you put that in there, we won't bother you or contact you, but sometimes it's nice to have a number to I can call folks and straighten things out. But anyway, Tim has a house that was built in the 70s, has an older gas insert fireplace. He said it either needs to be replaced or he wants to convert it to a wood burning unit. He wanted to know who would he reach out to inspect the chimney in the fireplace to determine if wood burning is safe. He said some of his neighbors have wood burning fireplaces. So, you know, and that's one way if it's a track built neighborhood. But I think the best thing, since we're talking safety, is you probably should have that inspected. You've been burning gas for all these years in it. It's probably nothing more than soot. But if it's a prefab unit and it's metal, they can condensate. And of course, the byproducts sometimes off of logs, especially vented logs, can have a little bit more acid content in them, so it can eat away at the flue itself. So probably a good idea to have someone out, let them put a camera either up or down, and inspect the unit, and they could tell you from the model number and what it looks like if it can be used to burn wood. They'll also inspect the top. So if it's a wood frame with siding, a lot of times, John, those have a chase cap that yes. goes around the actual flue, and then there's a chimney cap or a flue cap, and those need to be inspected. But I've seen many, many times the actual chase cap that goes over the entire chimney itself be rusty because they're so large that they dent. What happens is they collapse on themselves and they hold water because they just don't make them out of strong enough material. So, you know, it's worth to have those inspected too. A lot of times we think that those things will never be a problem, and most of the time they're not until you see that the fireplace on the backside is all rotted out on the outside of the house. So
yep.
I've seen it so many times, and it's sad and it's expensive, you know, to strip all that off and replace it. So yeah, that's a good safety tip and good question, Tim. So certainly call someone like Owens, Chimney Sweep. Remember, those guys are busy this time of year because everyone's trying to get their fireplaces either checked or, you know, the logs are not working or whatever. So good company. They've been around a long time.
Thanks, sir. That was actually one of the things that I guess I skipped past in the whole safety. Like I said, the online, I mean, I'm not telling you things that you already know, but there's just a lot of really good information. And there that was out there, fireplace inspections. If you do the chase cap, I would suggest doing it. Many times it'll be galvanized metal that they put up there. Just replace it with, they make an aluminum version that's going to be less prone to rusting. And that would be worthwhile. But they do talk about fireplace safety, fireplace inspections. The other thing is in fossil fuel burning heating systems, having the inspection that we talk about done, you know, twice a year. Very important for those, for older systems where there may be a cracked heat exchanger and the chances of carbon monoxide coming into the, you know, to a living space would be measurable. In fact, I think during an inspection, if a crack or the integrity is compromised, the technician is required to basically shut the system down until it can be repaired.
Exactly. So, they can red tag it for sure.
Right. So it's worth doing. We're going to be right up against the break here, so we'll go ahead and take that break. We're at 704-570-1110. We'll talk Home Depot. We'll talk home improvement when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dovell.
And we are available at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Right now we're going to talk to Mac. Good morning, Mac. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good morning, John and Dave.
Morning.
Morning. How can we help?
Thanks for taking the call. The question I have is, I'm enclosing the carport, and the wife wants a fireplace, but looking at that, it's between $8,000 and $9,000, maybe more now, to build one and into it. But I think you guys maybe can suggest a different type of a fireplace, maybe a ventless or gas, whatever, and maybe to install it.
Yeah. There's a lot of great options out there. You named it, right? You can go with a vent-free fireplace that you just build in. You frame it. You have to follow manufacturer's instructions for clearances and things like that, and the material around it. That's an option. You can go with a direct vent. Probably not too hard to do in a carport that you've converted. And that's just it's another, it's a gas burning product again, but it vents out the sidewall or out a wall. David, I don't know in that application. I think bedrooms have to be direct vents. You can't be vent free, but I think everywhere else a direct vent or a vent free would be acceptable. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can get it on an outside wall, I mean, even if you want to vent it, if you want to vent it, you can vent it as well. We chose to vent ours. We don't have a traditional fireplace. We have what's called a linear fireplace. So it doesn't have logs. It has crystals in it, I guess, or glass. And it has a mirrored back, and it really just has the flame that comes through it. But we chose to vent it. It's like 42 inches long, and I tell you, it'll run you out of that area, and it's open.
Crank out,
you know,
some
we
heat,
have a
yeah,
it really does. So I didn't think it was going to do all that, and I was like, oh, okay, wow. But we worked with a gentleman named Joe over at Hearth and Home, which is they do most of the builders in town. But individuals can go there too, and they have a showroom. They're out there off of 485. I want to say off of 160. But you could probably look them up, Mac, and find them. Hearth and Home. It's a big warehouse, and they're a national deal. So I think they're in all major cities. But lots to choose from, and they do the installation. They do the whole thing.
Great. That gave me a. I live in what they call G Town now. The millennials don't want to call it Gastonia, but
right.
I'm close by.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's not too far from, especially with 485. Makes it quick, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, guys. Enjoy your show, and thanks for taking my call.
We're glad to
yeah,
have
happy
back.
Heating.
Thank you for calling. Lots of good stuff. Lots of good options when you've got natural gas or propane in that arena. And we're going to talk about auxiliary heat in a second. And there's actually some pretty cool things that are available there. Let's talk to Earl next. Earl, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show.
How are you?
Excellent. How can we help?
A little bit back. Anyway, well, my issue is I'm trying to determine what is the best thing to go back to. I've tore up the floor in a half bath. Mm-hmm. And it's built up floor, and I'm concerned that I'm wondering if Pergo or something equivalent is a good thing to put in. What will turn to be a full bath also? It's going to be bleeding right into the full bath, and I'm concerned mm-hmm. about the water. So I was mm-hmm. looking for something besides tile that
yeah.
would be good to put mm-hmm. down on the floor that would stand the moisture.
Yeah. David, last week our Home Depot product of the week was a life-proof, waterproof, LVT flooring. So it's a click lock plank flooring that can be it's an easy do-it-yourself project, and it's designed so that water does not get between the joints. And I forget the warranty on it, but it's got a really strengthy wear layer. 25-year warranty in residential application. And there's a lot of really, really, I don't want to say design forward because that doesn't sound right, but there's some very aesthetically pleasing designs. You can even get some, I think, that look like tile if you want, Earl. So,
I apologize. I'm having trouble hearing the gentleman on the distance. Only the
okay.
Guy.
So he's talking about LVT, which is a laminated vinyl plank flooring.
Uh-huh.
And you could purchase that at Home Depot. We were talking about. We talked about that product last week. It was actually our product of the week, but it's LifeProof is the name of it. So it's waterproof. It's fairly easy to install, and lots of different patterns and colors for you to choose from. So they stock some things and some of the other products you can order, special order. And usually most of the time it only takes a week or so for that to come in. So would be a good choice for those floors.
This would be accessible even around a bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. It's basically vinyl and plastic. It's fairly thick. It's actually a really good product. We put it in a project not long ago, and it was the flooring guys loved. They love working with it.
I was concerned about the click stuff. As it's just a click flooring. Can you still glue it down or something to keep it from separating?
I think LifeProof may have a glue down version. I'm not sure. But that floor is thicker.
Yeah.
Therefore, the clicking apparatus on it is heavier. because there's more material for them to make the tongue and groove out of. And that's kind of what I always recommend for my customers, is to don't skimp, go with the thicker. It's a little more expensive because it has more material in it, but it's worth it.
Yeah, and I don't think
the life proof has a good It's not a problem.
The best thing is to make sure
the tile, but it's just going to have to be a built up to match the existing floor. And I figure if I can find something that's easy to put down, I'll go for it.
Well, you need to use plywood to get that floor leveled out. You'll have to figure out what it is. Sometimes the best course of action is to fill that in and then put a Luon or something over the entire floor so that you have a flat floor. Understand. If that's the key is not to have a bunch of dips and big depressions in the floor, because that's where the snap clicks become a real issue.
Understand.
Well, okay. I
appreciate your time and your input, and y'all have a good day.
You do. Thank you.
All right. Great. I don't think that, David, I don't know if you could hear while Earl was speaking. I don't believe that version of Life Proof comes in a glue down. I think.
Yeah, they don't have it. I think it was Allure floors that had the glue down tiles.
Yeah.
But there's other floors out there that are
that
you do glue down, and they come in not only sheet goods, but they come in, 12 by 12, 18 by 18 tiles. And I think that's where you use that. What do they call that glue that you put down? You let it dry, the
tack or whatever.
You trowel it all down. You do the whole floor, and then it tacks off, and then you start laying your floor, and it sticks to it. It's pretty cool. Pressure release, pressure sensitive.
Yeah, I don't know. We used to put all kinds of tile down with that back when I was remodeling basements. All right, 704-570-1110 is our number. Give us a call. We're talking about, we've spoken about safety. I wanted to take just a dive. It was actually kind of good, the call about putting a fireplace in. It's the time of year, especially with heating. If you're in the Northeast or places, if you're heating, there's not too many places on our neck of the woods, David, that are still heating with fuel oil. But I know that even natural gas prices are up significantly. And so it makes sense. If you can stay comfortable and dial the thermostat down a little bit by having a space heater, an auxiliary heater in a room, that makes sense. And a couple of them that are really popular, Vornado, V-O-R-N-A-D-O, is a manufacturer, and they make, you want to go by, sometimes you'll get a rating as BTUs, British Thermal Units, or typically you'll see it in watts, which also helps you understand how much electricity it's going to it will consume. But Vornado makes a portable space heater that'll do like sizable rooms. It's about $74. The one, David, that you and I speak about that I really like is the one that looks like a little portable radiator. It's a very popular item for a mm-hmm. couple reasons. It's 1500 watts. It's inexpensive, like around $54, $55. And it gives you, I think, and I think you agree, like a more steady kind of, like, it heats up. There's a thermostat on it once it hits the temperature, but it continues to radiate the heat evenly. So not a bad idea. We're going to sneak away for a break, folks. We'll be back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show right after these messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're going to do, we're taking calls. It's 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. You can also go to AskJohnAndDave.com, click on the questions button. Right now, we're going to do our Home Depot product of the week for this week. And I love it. It's time to get outside, enjoy the awesome fall weather. There's a little bit of a nip in the air in the evenings, and so you should get a Tiki metal fire pit. Why should you get that? Well, for a couple reasons. Number one, it's smokeless. I don't know about you, David, but like, smoke follows me. The wind will change just to make sure smoke blows at me around the fireplace or the fire pit. The way it's designed for ventilation and to draw air in, it's virtually smoke free. It's rather attractive. You can burn like a wood pack of like chips in it, or you can put conventional logs in it, and super easy clean out for the ash at the bottom. That's not always so easy in some of the just freestanding fire pits, and it's not super expensive. It's $350 to $400 for it. Comes with like a stand, or there's stands and different accessories available. But perfect for this time of year to get out and enjoy an evening when it's a little bit brisk, and you can still stay comfy and cozy warm. The Tiki metal fire pit, smokeless metal fire pit. Check it out. Check this out. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is our phone number. Give us a call. We'll talk about what's good for you. Let's see, David. Let's see, we got, we were talking, I don't know, heaters. We talked about the Polonis oil-filled heater. And I wanted to go down, I think we spoke the last time we spoke about this, about like radiant versus infrared heat versus just like ceramic disc heaters and stuff like that. There's some really cool products out there that are the radiant heat. The problem is they don't tend not to, it takes longer to heat up a large area because they don't heat the air, they heat the objects around them. And so it can take a little bit longer to heat up. So you should check them out. They're really good. If you're not too worried about how something looks, there's a really old faithful standby. The Milk House heater, David, remember the little gray rectangle? It's just, there's nothing aesthetically pleasing about it. It puts out a great amount of heat. It's got several different settings on the fan, and that thing cranks, and it's like $60 to get it. And then you can get into really tricky things like infrared heaters, and they tend to be a little bit more expensive. But makes sense. Again, if you have not done it, maybe you're... your heating costs have been okay. That's great. I know, David, in your house with the system that you've got, you know, it sips energy, and so that's fine.
Insulation in a multi-stage unit is the flavor of the day. We had to think about it a little bit, you know, when we were installing it. I mean, it's a little bit easier when you're building a house because you're going to put that in a loan that's, you know, for 20 to 30 years, right? So it's not as bad, but you still have a budget, right, that you have to go by. But it's the smartest thing we ever did.
Yeah. It's worth the investment on the front end. And even, I know you guys foamed the attic. There's good reason to come back and retrofit. Right, where you've already had you've already got insulation up there. House was built 30 years ago. With the right applicator, you want to make sure you're hiring a person that knows what they're doing, because there's some disastrous stories about applicators who mixed the foam chemicals incorrectly, and they off-gas and continue to off-gas, and it's not good. It's not healthy. But the right applicator, putting the right products in, makes a huge difference. In fact, there's a bit of a downside in that you have to consider the size of your air conditioning unit or HVAC system, right? Because once you change that temperature loss or gain, you could be oversized. So. Something to think about when you change your system, maybe do the whole shooting match. All right. I think we're close to a break, so I don't want to start another whole topic.
Yeah, you got a little bit. Hey, I wanted to throw something else in there on safety that we kind of glazed over. We talked about the chimney, getting your fireplace, the chimney looked at, cleaned, inspected. If it's never been inspected, then put a camera down it. that's the beauty of those folks doing a camera, by the way, is that they'll show you the video and they'll show mm-hmm. you what's wrong. And it's not just, you're not having to rely on someone's word. So I think it makes some people feel better. Right. And you get to see exactly what's going on, and it'll help you make the decisions that need to be made. But the dryer duct, that's something else that needs to be cleaned. You know, it depending on how much you use your dryer, how big the family is, how many loads of clothes you're doing a day. But something to think about. And if you've never done it, you really need to get someone out. If it's a pretty short run, you can do it yourself, right, John?
Yes. Yep.
I mean, they make an attachment for your drill. Follow the directions, and you could just run that down through it. And you need a shop vac and a drill, battery operated drills handy. But you'll be amazed at what comes out, and you'll also be amazed at how much faster your dryer dries your clothes. Talk about saving a little money. You could save a lot of money because you won't catch your house on fire for one, but, two, really your clothes dry faster and you save some energy. So, pretty simple task. If you're not sure, I think the average price is about $200 to have someone come out and clean it, but well worth it.
A worthwhile investment, and they'll check for like birds having nested in the outside portion, mm-hmm. which is comparably difficult, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take our break here, folks. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, and we'll talk home improvement when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're in the lightning round, last segment of the show this morning. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110 is the number. David, I've gone through the outline stuff that we wanted to touch base on, but I do have a bunch of tips. And this one, you know, Earl called about replacing the floor in his bathroom, and he had a built-up floor, and he wanted to put something, something else in it. He had to build the floor back up. We talked about the vinyl. One of the things that we've talked about many, many times is when you're changing the height of your floor, particularly from something thinner to something thicker, the toilet is an issue, right? And so the yes. flange is at one level, and you've got a floor now at the other level, and you can't just pop the toilet over that gap, right? So how do you take care of that?
Well, they have if you need to build up, they make rings that you can add to the top of the flange. So, and they're formed or stamped out exactly like the old flange. So you remove the bolts or the screws if there are some in it. That's not always easy because
right.
a lot of times guys, they won't take the time to use a stainless steel. Screw, which is what really needs to be in there. But anyway, you remove the fasteners, and then you can add these rings, and they come in quarter inch increments. But you can stack them up, and then you'll run some new screws, like a number 14. It needs to be a wood screw if it's in a wood floor. If it's in concrete and there's enough concrete around it, you can use Tapcons that work well. But anyway, you can add these flanges, and you can build the floor up. And that will get you the height that you need.
Boom. And that was our tip of the week from December of 2006. And I guess we can say that that's still a legitimate.
It is. Tip. And then don't forget there's repair flanges as well. So if you happen to pull the toilet and the flange is cracked or broke, that's what we were talking about, John. If there's no screws in the flange, then what happens is the toilet's bolted to the flange, and over time, with the use of the toilet, that it can break the flange because it's the bolts are actually pulling against the flange and allowing it to bend up with that pressure.
Right.
And the only thing that's really holding it in place is the soil pipe or the pipe that the flange is fastened to or glued to. So it's pretty important to put the bolts in it and screw it down. You won't see it a lot of times on slab floors. You will not see the flange fastened. I don't know if you've been around enough of it, John, but I see that pretty regular. So then they're relying just solely on the flange to hold that toilet in place, and they do break. There's not a lot of material left there by the time they machine it out for the actual toilet bolts to hold the toilet to the flange. So something to think about. Hey, you want to do a quick email?
Yeah, if you got it. Yes.
Yeah, let's do. Jim writes in and he says that it periodically has air in the water pipes, and he said how does he get rid of the air? You know, air could be introduced in a couple of ways into the pipe. I mean, it can be drawn in through a opening in a pipe, a leak. Sometimes it can be if you have a thermal expansion tank on the water heater. That could cause a problem. They can get waterlogged, and that can cause a problem. So you want to check on that. If there is not an expansion tank, it may seem like air in there, but what it's doing is as the water heats up and expands, it pushes it into the cold water side. And sometimes when you turn the spigot on, it'll really spit at you or come out of there, and it'll seem like air, but that's because there's so much pressure behind it, which in turn is the reason for the thermal expansion tank. They also have the expansion valves, John. I don't know if you've seen those, that the valve will actually open up and it'll put water out. It's kind of like a temperature
TMP valve, right?
Yeah. Pressure, yeah, TMP valve, exactly. But it goes on the water line, and then it has a drain line off of that goes into the pan or another drain. Sometimes they put those in attics in colder climates, so that if there is water in that thermal tank, it won't freeze. Of course, the idea is to put that someplace where it won't freeze.
It's the smarter thing.
And then the other thing that can go wrong is if you're finding you're getting air in your lines, if your water pressure is different. And these are all city water problems. If you're on a well, there's a whole other host of problems that you can have with a well that can cause you to have air. So I'll send a note, and it was actually Margaret that was writing us on that. And Margaret, I'll answer that in a little bit, and we'll make sure that we get that answered. But I was going to add in there, John, the pressure reducing valve on city water. When they're going bad, they can also introduce air into the system. The pressure gets low.
Okay. What about outdoor faucets, spigots, and backflow? That a possible culprit? Most everything has the device on it now to prevent backflow, I guess.
Right, the anti-siphon.
Yeah, thank you.
Right. So anyway, it could be any place that there's the possibility that it could draw air into the system, and I suppose that really could be one, if you think about it, that it could pull air in.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So if we focus on these few things, I think you'll probably come to the problem. Something I think it gets passed over a lot is when homes are older, or as they get 10, 12, 15 years on them, the pressure reducing valve deteriorates. Mm-hmm. There's just a screw and a spring in there, and that screw will actually deteriorate in the water with the chlorine, and that's what you can end up with. So if you're having experience in those problems, the next time you have a plumber out, just have them open that up. They know exactly what to do. I don't know if they have parts kits for those or if you can, or you have to buy the whole unit, but one way or the other, you need to have it. So either low pressure or way too much, you know that there's something going on with that valve.
It's a great segue to our next caller. Alan has a water pressure question. Good morning, Alan. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Good morning, John and Dave.
Morning.
I'll ask the question and get off. This actually is my daughter's house. In between the house, they ran a pipe from the road all the way up to the hill on the next house, and it had run at least maybe 200 yards or more. And so after that, the water pressure is bad in her house. So is there any way to boost that, or I'll see if you can give me a comment. Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay.
Okay.
David, you were pretty much there a minute ago, right?
Yeah.
If it's adjusted down, if he has a pressure valve.
Pressure reducing valve, exactly.
Reducing valve, yeah.
And that's what needs to happen, is that needs to be to make sure that there is one. If not, they need to make sure that they didn't tie on to her line. That guy might not have a water bill, and she's got a big one.
Yeah. But go online and look. The you'll recognize the pressure-reducing valve. It looks like kind of like a gold, brass-colored, almost a dome shape or a cone that's clipped at the end. It's got a screw in it. I always have to look up which way to turn it to increase the pressure, decrease the pressure. I think it's counterintuitive. I think it's to the right to increase and to the left to decrease. But check it out online. It's there and it's an easy fix. That's going to bring us to the end of our show, folks. We genuinely appreciate callers, listeners, folks who send us emails. We hope that it was as enjoyable a show for informative. A show for you as it was enjoyable for us. And each week, you know that we like to end our show the same way, because we think it's great to tell everybody that we think the most important kind of home improvement you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. As you work on all the other projects this week, don't forget to work on that one. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.